Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Atma.
Atma.
The soul.
Soul.
Buddhakesha.
Buddhakesha.
O Arjuna.
O Arjuna.
Sarvabhuta.
Sarvabhuta.
Of all living entities.
All living entities.
Ashaya stitaha, situated within the heart. Aham,
I am.
Adihi, the origin. Cha,
also.
Madhyam,
middle.
Cha,
also.
Bhutanam,
of
all living entities.
All living entities.
Antaha,
end.
Eva,
certainly.
Cha,
and.
I am the super soul, O Arjuna, situated within the heart of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapalantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabhutam Pralijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vichamascha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhakto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Ramosute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vanshako Pitarubhyascha Kripasanto Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much again for coming. Who was here for the program last night? Who was here last night for the meeting? Yeah, good. Okay. This is the beginning of Lord Krishna speaking in the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, Arjuna has asked Lord Krishna a question. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, and Arjuna is his devotee. So Arjuna has a question. Keshu keshu chabhadeshu chintyosi bhagavanmaya. My dear Krishna, how can I always think of you? How can I always think of you? Because our business as servants of Krishna is always to remember Krishna. Our life becomes perfect when our thoughts are filled with thoughts of Krishna. There are two things. There's Krishna and there's Maya. Krishna means the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Truth, and Maya means illusion.
So when we're thinking of Krishna, we're automatically not thinking of Maya or illusion. And when we're thinking of illusion, we're not thinking of Krishna. To stop thinking about illusion is very difficult. Simply to stop our thoughts. We have so many thoughts of so many things which are useless thoughts, which are simply like thinking about this material body, which is a temporary thing, simply thinking about this material world, which is a temporary place, and forgetting our real life of Krishna consciousness or God consciousness. So stopping those material thoughts is very hard. But thinking of Krishna automatically means that we're not thinking of Maya or illusion. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Vayandakar Yaha Krishna Taha Maya Nahi Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. Wherever the sun is there, darkness automatically disappears. So as long as we're in Krishna consciousness, we can't be in the darkness of illusion automatically. So now Arjuna's question is very pertinent. How can I always think of you? Keshu keshu cha bhaveshu. How can I always think of you within this material world? Now we're in this material world. So while we're here, how can we think of Krishna? And Krishna in this chapter is going to give some examples, many examples, of how we can think of him. In the earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava, Krishna says, I'm everything. Krishna includes everything. There's nothing outside of Krishna or God. God is everything, and everything is part of God. Or everything is the energy of God. Ekadesha stitas yagnir jyotsna vistarani yata parasya brahmana shakti tateda makilam jagat. As a fire sits in one place and distributes heat and light everywhere, so God is in his abode, his kingdom, but he's present everywhere by his energies. The fire is present throughout the room by its heat and light. Or the sun is present in this room by its heat and light. So Krishna is present everywhere by his energies. There's nothing outside of the energies of Krishna. So now in this chapter, Krishna is going to give many different examples of how he's present everywhere. Ahamatma Guda Kesha. Guda Kesha is the name of Arjuna. In this verse, Arjuna is addressed as Guda Kesha, which means one who has conquered the darkness of sleep. For those who are sleeping in the darkness of ignorance, it is not possible to understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in various ways in the material and spiritual worlds. Thus, this address by Krishna to Arjuna is significant. Because Arjuna is above such darkness, the personality of Godhead agrees to describe his various opulences, his glories. Ahamatma Buddha-kesha. Krishna says, I'm present as the super soul in the heart of every living being. What's the super soul? First of all, we have to know that within the body, the soul is there. How do we know that the soul is there within the body? From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And every one of us is conscious. You're conscious of your body. If you have a pain in your finger, you feel it. If someone touches you on the arm, you feel it. If there's anything going on, you feel it because you're present within the body. So, this consciousness is the sign of the presence of the soul. This consciousness is the presence of sign of the presence of the soul. When the soul leaves the body, we say the body is dead. Because there's no consciousness. As long as the soul is present, there's consciousness. And when the soul leaves, there's no consciousness. As long as you're in your body, by your consciousness you can say, I want my hand to come and scratch my head. And the hand will come and scratch. As long as your consciousness is there, you'll have thoughts. You'll have feelings. You'll have desires. But when the soul leaves the body, then there's no thought, no feeling, no desire. So, the soul is present within every body. And in each body, there's an individual soul. You're present in your body, but you're not present in my body. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know what I'm desiring. And I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're desiring. I don't know what you're feeling. Because in each body, there's a different soul. Just like in an apartment building, in each flat, in each apartment, there's another person or another family living. So I know all about what's going on in my apartment, but I don't know what's going on in your apartment. And in your apartment, you know all about what's going on there, but you don't know what's going on in my apartment or the apartment of the other neighbors. In the same way, I'm in my body, you're in your body, and each one of us knows what's going on with our own body. And we don't know what's going on with the details of anyone else's. But Krishna knows about all the bodies. It's said that the soul is within the heart, but within one heart, within your heart, within the next person's heart. But Krishna is called the super soul because he's present in all the hearts of all the living beings. He's present in my heart, he's present in your heart, he's present in the heart of all the people in Kana. He's present in the heart of the tree, he's present in the heart of the fish, he's present in the heart of the animal, present in the heart of the insect. He's present in the heart of every living being. Ishara sarvabhutanam hriday sarvanitishtati. And so he knows what's going on in everyone's heart. I know about my apartment. You know about your apartment. But the owner of the building or the landlord, he knows about all the apartments. So Krishna knows about all the living beings. He knows everything. So aham atma guru kesha. Krishna says, I'm that super soul within the heart of every living being. If you look within your heart, you'll find actually that there are two souls there. Yourself and God. Both are there. You're present within the heart. You can look within your heart. and find yourself. But God is also in your heart. So we get some inspiration from God, we get some direction from God, because God is within the heart of everyone. So there are these two souls within the heart. So Krishna says, I'm that super soul within the heart of every living being. That's Krishna. Krishna is within your heart. Aham atma gudakesha sarva bhutashayastita. Krishna says, within the heart of all the living beings. Not just the human beings. All the living beings. They all have consciousness. The animals also have, they also think. Maybe they don't think the way we do, but they think. They have some thoughts, now I'd like to, they have some idea. If the cat wants to get something from your house, first the cat waits till you're not looking. Then the cat goes in. Because the cat is intelligent, the cat is thinking. If I go in now, he'll chase me away. I'll go in when he's not looking. So the animals have thinking, they have feelings. If you pinch the animal will cry. And the animal also has desires. They want to live. They want to eat. They have so many desires, as we do. So they're also living beings. And Krishna says, God says, I'm present within the heart, not only of the human beings, but all the living beings. Because he's the father of everyone in all the different species of life. Aham atma gudakesha sarva bhutashaya stitaha aham adishta madhyam cha bhutanam antareva cha. And Krishna says, I'm the beginning of everything. Everything has a beginning. We've just started the new year, 2012. So now we're at the very beginning, the first day. And because the year has a beginning, it will have an end. 1 year from now, we'll come to December 31st, 2012, and that will be the end of the year. And someplace six months from now, we'll come to the middle of the year. So Krishna says, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, and I'm also the middle of everything. Everything has a beginning, middle, and an end. This body came into existence at a certain time. It has a beginning. And it will be finished at a certain time. It will come to an end. And between the two, there's the middle. So Krishna says, I'm the beginning of it, I'm the end of it, I'm the middle of it. Everything has a beginning, middle, and end. Today had its beginning early in the morning, has its end. And right now, maybe we're in the middle someplace. So Krishna says, I'm that beginning, I'm that end, I'm that middle. So we're always either at the beginning or at the end or the middle of something. So we can always remember Krishna. When you start something, you can think of Krishna, because Krishna is the start of everything. When you come to the end of something, you can think of Krishna. When you come to the end of the day, you can think, now I'm reaching the end. The end is Krishna. And tomorrow I'll start a new day, so that's again Krishna. And between the beginning and the end, there's Krishna. He's the middle. When you sit down and eat your meal, Krishna is the start, and Krishna is the end. and Krishna is in the middle. Everything. Krishna says, I'm the beginning, I'm the middle, and I'm the end. The whole material world has its beginning, has its source of creation. That's Krishna. And at the end, the world will be destroyed. That power of destruction is also Krishna. And in between, the world is existing. That existence is also Krishna. One just has to see Krishna present everywhere. Rasoham apsukanteya prapasmi sasisurya. Krishna says, the taste of water is also me. Everyone likes to drink water because of the taste. Everyone likes the taste of water. And while drinking water, we can think that the nice taste of this water, which quenches our thirst, is Krishna. Prabhasmi Sashi Surya. And Krishna says, the light of the sun and the light of the moon are also me. Oh, during the day, we're seeing the sun. At night, we're seeing the moon. So we're always seeing Krishna. Only to see Krishna, we simply have to be Krishna conscious. We just have to remember, yes, this is Krishna. This sunlight is Krishna. This moonlight is Krishna. This tasty essence of the water is Krishna. This beginning of something is Krishna. The end of something is Krishna. The middle of something is Krishna. In this way, one is always thinking, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And that, therefore, Maya or illusion can't be there. Maya or illusion is driven out. And to make this all very easy, we've been given this chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This chanting of Hare Krishna is the most practical way of thinking of Krishna. Because you don't even have to think about something. You don't have to be a philosopher. You don't have to imagine something. You don't have to picture something. All you have to do is hear the sound. All you have to do is fix your mind on this sound. Because there's no difference between God and God's name, between Krishna and Krishna's name. So when we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna's there. Krishna's dancing on your tongue when you chant Hare Krishna. So our process is very easy. We can always chant Hare Krishna. When you're at home, you can chant. When you're working, you can chant. When you're on your way to work, you can chant. When you're with your friends, you can chant. When you're facing your enemies, you can chant. All the time. All the time. I see some of you have these beads. Are mine here? No. Who had beads? You have beads. Yeah. Very good. You can have to give them to me. You can just show. The beads are there. So he's, Baladeva is keeping the beads. And he can chant at any moment, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by chanting, 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 it becomes fixed in the mind, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is called meditation. To meditate on God or to think of God is very easy. This is the easiest way to do that. There are so many names of God, you can chant any name, it's not sectarian. Whatever name you find in your scripture, you can chant. But this name, Krishna, is universal. Krishna is for everyone. It's not for Hindus or Muslims or for Christians only. It's for everyone. Krishna is for everyone. So everyone can chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we chant, mind becomes purified, the mind becomes freed from anxieties, the mind becomes happy. It's so easy and so nice. The Krishna is out of his kindness. Out of his kindness, Krishna makes himself easily available in the form of his holy name, in the form of this chanting. So now we're starting a new year, and this is the best thing we can do with the year. Last night, we started the year with kirtan, or congregational chanting of Hare Krishna. And next year, we'll start the next year with chanting of Hare Krishna. And in between, we'll fill the year with chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That makes every year very fortunate. Every year that goes by without thinking of Krishna is a year lost. It's a waste of a year. We only have so many years in our life. And if a year is lost, what a great loss that is. Even if a moment is lost, you can't buy back that moment for millions of dollars. And what to speak of a whole year. And on the other hand, therefore it's said that every time the sun goes up and sun goes down, it's subtracted a day from our life. Every time the sun goes around in a complete orbit, it's subtracted a year from our life. We have now 1 year less than we had a year ago. If now, suppose you're 25 years old, last year you were 24 years old, now you have 1 year less of your life. So gradually these years are disappearing, one after another. And they're just being lost. But when you spend the year remembering Krishna, then every year is a plus. You've added a successful year to your life. So we invite everyone to make this a very successful year. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant every day, that will make your day successful. Chant throughout the year, that will make your year successful. And chant for your whole life, and that will make your life successful. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions? Any? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
First of all, I would like to say Happy New Year to you. I would like to say Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you also.
So Maharaj, I read a book written by Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. He said his guru took him to a tour of experience.
To a what?
Tour of experience.
A tour of experience.
Tour of experience.
Yeah. He took him to the heavenly planets. And what was going on up there, all living entities are engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and friending. They went down to the earthly planets, the same activities. They went down to the heavenly planets, the same activity of eating, sleeping, and mating going on there. So Maharaj, I want to ask if there is any other engagement more happier than eating, sleeping, mating, and friending.
Is there any engagement happier than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Yes. Chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. All the animals are busy eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the special, and we also eat, we also sleep, and so on. But the special opportunity of human life is the opportunity to revive our internal relationship with God. So that's the better activity. That's the happier activity. And that's what we do by chanting Hare Krishna. Is that okay? Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, it is concerning the chanting. The scriptures say that when you are chanting a Maha Mantra, that means you are freeing your mind from all material activities. But what I realize is that sometimes, maybe because of what you think, immediately we start chanting the Maha Mantra, so many unwanted thoughts come into our mind. So when it happens like that, what is the easiest way to...
Sometimes when we chant the mantra, so many unwanted thoughts come into the mind. Actually, they were already there. But now that we're chanting, it's the opportunity for them to be cleansed away. All we have to do is hear the mantra, fix our mind on the mantra. And because our mind is fixed on the mantra, it's automatically not fixed on these other things. Something else? Yes.
Just as the Lord is saying this verse, that is the beginning, the middle, and the end. So I was just happy to read the 11th canto where the Lord describes the Uddhava, the universal forms and other aspects also of this. Where even the back portion of the Lord is the envy and so on and so forth from this come to this. So I wasn't very clear.
If your cell phone is ringing, please turn it off.
Outside.
You know, one cause that not understanding, from where does this envy arise?
Where does envy arise from? Arise from the backside of the Lord. That is, there's shadow. Where does shadow come from? It comes from the sun. But how does it come? When the sun is blocked or when the sun is not present, then we see shadow. So when Krishna consciousness is not there, then there's envy. When I'm engaged in devotional service to Krishna, then there's appreciation. And when I forget Krishna, then there's envy. Why should I not enjoy? Why are others enjoying more than me? There's envy. What do we forget about? When we remember Krishna, then we're happy. Yes, I have everything I need. But when we forget Krishna, there's envy. Where does the forgetfulness come from? It also comes from Krishna. When we want to forget Krishna, Krishna says, all right, I'll give you forgetfulness. Matas mitir jnanam apovanam. But when we want to remember Krishna, Krishna helps us remember. So we should always try to remember Krishna. Then there'll be no envy. I don't know. Something else? Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that from the highest planets in the material world down to the lowest, all are things of beauties. But those who come to Mahabhu never take that away from the material world. But we're coming from the Christian background, and we know that if you go to heaven, it's where God is. But
we should go.
Heaven. Yeah. It's where God is. But the better scripture let us understand that there's a difference between the heavenly planets and the kingdom of God.
Yeah, there's a difference between the heavenly planets and the kingdom of God. And maybe in the Bible when they say heaven, they may mean where God is. But in the Vedic literature, when they talk about heaven, it means a place of material enjoyment. Even sometimes that's how people are thinking of heaven in Christian life. They're thinking that God will reward me, I'll go to a place where I'll have everything I want to enjoy. But they're not thinking that I'll serve God there. They're thinking I'll enjoy there. So basically they drag their idea of material existence into the kingdom of God. But that's not possible. In the kingdom of God, there's no material existence. There's only service to God, not forgetfulness of God. So sometimes even our idea of heaven is something like it is a material idea. But anyway, the heaven as explained in Vedic literature is a different place. It's a part of this material world. Even in this, on earth, there are places that we think of as being like heaven. I don't know what place you might think of as being heavenly. What place might you think of as being like a heavenly place? If you think of a heavenly place, what do you think of? In this world. I don't know. Sometimes people from other countries think of America as being a heavenly place, where everybody has lots of money, everybody has lots of gadgets, everybody has lots of all sorts of good things. So they want to go to America because they think that it's like heaven. And people who live in America want to go someplace else, which they think is more like heaven. Maybe they want to come to Africa, and where things are not as spoiled as they are in America. Or maybe they want to go to some tropical island. Or they want to go someplace where they think that it's like heaven. And there are places that are like hell also. There are places that are nasty, places, well, where there's war going on and people are killing one another and there's so much suffering. So even on this planet, there are places that are heavenly and there are places that are like hell. So that's there throughout creation. But beyond this material world is the kingdom of God, which is beyond heaven. Because the heavenly enjoyment in this world is temporary. But in the spiritual world, the enjoyment of serving Krishna is eternal. Is that okay?
That means the spiritual world, where Krishna lives, is not created like the material world.
No, it's not created. Krishna's kingdom is eternal.
Okay. Well, the Bible says that God created heaven and earth, and heaven and earth shall pass away. So sometimes I used to wonder, we are worshipping God to move to heaven, but when the heaven is passing away, what will we be?
Yeah, if we're worshipping God, just like sometimes people are praying to God, let me go to America, or let me get out of America, let me go here, let me go there, or let me have a beautiful wife, or let me have a better job, or let me have more money, or let me move to a different place. So they're praying to God for something which has a beginning and which has an end. But they're described as less intelligent because they could approach God and say, let me live with you. Let me serve you forever. Let me have your eternal company in the spiritual world. So the intelligent people, they want to be always connected with Krishna. They don't care very much about the circumstances they're in the material world. It may be this or that, but when they're with Krishna, they feel completely happy. The Hare Krishna devotees, doesn't matter where they are, they can chant Hare Krishna and feel happy any place. So this is our program. Yes.
This about the real condition. At first, God created every planet and all the trees, animals, and including human beings. And they said that there's a real condition also. And anything you do, either bad or good, either you come back like an animal or a tree. I want to know, at the first starting, God created a tree and animals and so forth. How reincarnation comes from? I want you to explain that.
Question is that there's reincarnation, that living beings are born in one lifetime after another on account of their previous desires and their previous activities. If I live like a pig in my next life, I may be born as a pig. If I live in another way, I'll be born in another way. So there are so many different species, trees, plants, insects, birds, beasts, human beings, to account for the different desires of the living beings and the different karma or the different activities they've performed, which bring them to one life or another life. So the question is that in the beginning, God created all of these different species, the trees, the plants, the insects, the beasts, the human beings. So how does reincarnation fit in then? If it's the start of the thing, how does he decide? Okay, you go here, you go there, you become a tree, you become a plant, you become an animal. If it's just starting, how does he assign people to different bodies? That's your question, right? And the answer is that the start is not actually the beginning. The start is just the beginning of the next cycle. Because creation doesn't just happen once, but creation and destruction are going on again and again. So this universe lasts for millions and millions of years, or the cosmic manifestation lasts for millions and millions of years, and then it's destroyed. But the living beings aren't destroyed, because they're eternal. And they're not automatically released to go to the kingdom of God, because they have to become qualified to go to the kingdom of God. So those who still have material desires are not yet ready to go there. What happens? They go to sleep. Just as at night we go to sleep until the next morning, at the time of the destruction of the universe, everyone goes to sleep. Within the body of Mahavishnu, or form of Krishna, everyone goes to sleep. And the creation is destroyed, and the living beings are sleeping in this place, body of the Lord. Then when the Lord creates everything again, then the living beings come out again. Just as when the morning comes, everyone who went to sleep wakes up. When creation takes place, all the living beings who were sleeping since the beginning, since the end of the last creation, are awakened and they start again from where they left off. Just as you start again in the morning from where you left off the previous day. If you were thinking about starting a business when you went to sleep, then you wake up and you think about starting that business. If you were thinking about studying for some examination when you went to sleep, then you wake up the next morning and you think about studying for that examination. So everybody wakes up with the desires that they had at the time they went to sleep. And therefore, all those different bodies are needed to to fulfill all those desires. Is that okay? Yes.
If you understand in the same context, like around Samukha, like the Lord expands in three Purusha avatars, the Mahavishnu for creation, the Garudaksha and the Shivadaksha. So now as a super soul, when he's seated as Paramatma, as Shivadaksha Vishnu, and the soul is liberated, so with him it doesn't accompany to the spiritual world. So what happens to this form of Shivadaksha Vishnu, which is situated in the heart? He occupies something, or is it?
No, that Shrirudaksha Vishnu, or the Lord in the heart, is only manifest when the hearts are manifest. Just like sometimes, suppose there's a great big fair someplace here in Ghana. So then they may make a special deployment of the police. If it's a big event, then suppose a big sporting event. And there's thousands and thousands of people. Then the police may set up a temporary post right there in the stadium. Because there's going to be thousands of people and there'll be pickpockets and there'll be people who will need help for something and police presence will be needed. So as long as the game is going on, the police expand themselves into the stadium. They may have a whole headquarters there. And then when the game is over and all the people have left, then no need. Then the police deployment is absorbed back into the regular force. So in that way, Krishna expands himself in the heart of all living beings when there's a need, when everything's going on. And then when everything's wrapped up, then no need. Yes?
Krishna Maharaj, please, the Gita says that an unsuccessful yogi after leaving the world is not perishing, because a little amount of devotional service one performs can protect him from greatest danger. He may even take birth in a heavenly planet or the family of Brahmanas or rich aristocratic family. I want to know that when that person takes birth in a rich aristocratic family, Krishna is going to remind him to take to Krishna consciousness, or we just leave him like that?
Yes, if someone takes birth in a rich family just because of pious activities, good deeds, then he may not remember Krishna. But if someone takes birth in a rich family because of being a devotee in his previous life, then he'll remember that I have to be Krishna conscious. He may not remember, it's not that he exactly remembers in my previous life it was like this, but automatically, parvadehi, automatically he remembers, or automatically he feels, I have to be Krishna conscious. I have to be God conscious. That impulse automatically comes because of his past Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Yes.
Yes, Maharaj. I have a struggle in distributing books. Normally, the Mahamantra is written in most of the books. So Kamis, when you start sharing the books, they'll say, let me see. As soon as they see the mantra, they say, oh, Krishna, you don't want it.
People see the mantra and they don't want it.
Stuff.
They think it's
Hare Krishna stuff.
Hare Krishna
stuff. Book.
Book. It is a Hare Krishna book. But our job is to explain to them that that's good. That's a salesman's job. In sales, every objection is turned into a plus point. Every objection is turned into a plus point. If the person says, I already have one of these, then you say, yes, that's why I approached you, because you already know how good the product is. So you'll want a second one for your neighbors or your friends or for your wife. Every objection is an opportunity to explain the advantages of the product. So because this is the material world, as soon as people find out that this is something spiritual, or especially when they find out that it's about Krishna, and they haven't understood Krishna, then they may say, oh no, 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 I don't want it. Of course, even if they say, no, it's about Krishna, I don't want it, oh, they've just chanted Hare Krishna. But it's an opportunity for us to explain, oh, this is actually very good, whatever their objection is. If they say, no, I'm Christian, so I'm not interested in Krishna, no, Krishna is God. He's for the Christians also. If they have some other reason, whatever your reason, we have an answer for you. That's our job. The job of the person distributing Krishna consciousness is to present to the prospective customers the value of the product. Because we're convinced the product is super excellent. And the only problem is that the customer or prospective customer hasn't understood the value of the product. If he understood the value of the product, he'd want 10 of them. It's such a great, because we have experience, we use that product. Suppose I'm selling anything, a medicine. And I use that medicine, so then I'm convinced this medicine is very good. Other people should have the opportunity. And we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're convinced. This chanting will benefit everyone. Just people, if they just don't understand it. As soon as they understand it, then they'll say, oh, let me do this also. So that's our job. And maybe some people will still say no, then we'll go to the next person, because out of so many, some fortunate persons will say yes. Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yalisa. Not everyone will understand Krishna or appreciate Krishna, but those who are fortunate, a fortunate soul will appreciate Krishna and be attracted to Krishna. So we're trying to give the opportunity, especially to those fortunate persons. That's our job.
Krishna Maharaj, he says in the scripture that Yashya Prashada Bhagavan Prashadu, Yashya Prashadam Jagatinkatu. That means by the mercy of Krishna, one gets spiritual master, and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets Krishna. That means the instructions of the spiritual master initiation is very important. What about those who don't have spiritual master? They can get to Krishna.
Excuse me?
Those who don't have spiritual master.
Without a spiritual master, it's like getting a degree without having a teacher. How will you get a degree without a teacher? So how will you reach Krishna without a spiritual teacher, a spiritual master? Something else? Therefore, all the devotees should become qualified spiritual masters so that they can give Krishna to everyone. Yes?
What is your word? I want to know, if you chant Hare Krishna, when you finish, you say, chant and be happy. But if we are chanting, but if we are not happy, I don't
know. We say, chant and be happy. Sometimes you're chanting and you're not happy. But that's better than not chanting and being unhappy. If you weren't chanting, you'd still be unhappy. Now you're chanting, so you're on the path to happiness. Just like you get in your car, suppose you want to go to another city. So it's not that as soon as you get in the car, you're there. But as soon as you get in their car, you're on the way there. And the chanting is such a fast car that you'll be happy very quickly. Anything else? All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.